Deacon Sullivan, how about lifting us up in prayer?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that you are the bestower of all blessings, and we thank you and praise you for all the blessings that you've laid on us, Lord. And thank you for this wonderful day of sunshine and allowing us all to gather here and praise and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. How about page 2 in your Christmas caroling books? I noticed that there's a number of people were requesting information about who was going out Christmas caroling, and I put on my Facebook page a bunch of caroling that happened a few years ago, just tremendous in a local mall, where a whole bunch of people went into the mall from different parts of the mall, men and women and kids and everything, and then they just broke out, started singing, and everybody was just blown away. It was tremendous. So this is what we would sing if we were in the local mall. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Oh, sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Okay, what next? Somebody pick another one.
Page 16.
Actually, this is one of the few song books that we would use, like hymnals that don't have page numbers, they have hymn numbers, but in this, these are set up by page numbers in this Christmas caroling book. Okay. The first Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay. In fields where they lay keeping their sheep, on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. They looked up and saw a star shining in the east, beyond them far, and to the earth it gave. Wow. Some of these verses kind of hard to do.
So continue about the end. Noel, 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 Noel,
born is the King of Israel, and by the light of that same star, three wise men came from country far to seek for a king. was their intent, and to follow the star wherever it went. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. That's first. Then entered in those wise men three, full reverently upon their knee, and offered there in his presence their gold and myrrh and frankincense. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Yeah. Okay. Sean, why don't you pick one?
Number three.
Are you going to lead us in singing that too? Okay, well, I'll help you out on that one.
I'm trying to think of an answer.
Yeah. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. In Bethlehem and Jewry this blessed babe was born, and laid with the manger upon this blessed morn. The which his mother Mary did nothing take in scorn. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God our Heavenly Father a blessed angel came, and unto shepherds brought tidings of the same, how that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. The shepherd at those tidings rejoiced much in mind, and left their flocks a-feeding in tempest, storm, and wind, and went to Bethlehem straightway the Son of God to find. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Yes.
Note 9,
you know, it's the bottom one, how it's a little different from the top one? Yes.
Is that like a background choir?
Yeah, it could be, because a lot of these Christmas carols are pretty complex, although they were designed for people to sing without musical accompaniment for the most part, although... You know, there is music here on there, if we knew what it was. I don't read music all that well, but... So, yeah, you can imagine how simple it can be, or how fancy it can be. Okay, pick another one.
Page 5.
Page 5 is, yes... Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay, The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the poor baby wakes. But little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky. And stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay. Close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care. And take us to heaven to live with thee there. Praise the Lord. Yes.
I haven't heard that one on the radio.
Well, you haven't?
I've heard like every other one he's saying, but I've never actually heard that one.
I don't know why that is. Of course, depends on what station you are actually listening to. Where they would, what they would play, but I can tell you what, it's not like it was when I was a boy. We'd hear Christmas carols this time of year all over. Okay, in my quips and quotes for this week, it's an old joke, but a true one. Whatever liberals don't like, they ban. Everything else they want to make mandatory. Nowhere is that truer than in the green energy sector. Chief Justice Joseph Story, 1833, said, "Let the American youth never forget that they possess a noble inheritance, bought by the toils and sufferings and the blood of their ancestors." Attacks on your given, God-given freedoms are increasing. We must stand together against these efforts to take away the American dream and the future you want for your children and grandchildren. As God begins to tighten the screws in America, the Christian church is summoned to pursue applied biblical radicalism. You weren't made to fit in. Be saints. The judiciary may truly be said to have neither force nor will, but merely judgment, and must ultimately depend upon the aid of the executive arm, even for the efficacy of its judgments. Alexander Hamilton, 1788. I like this quote from former TV personality, Art Linkletter. I used to watch his program as a boy quite a bit. He observed, "Things turn out the best for the people who make the best of the ways things turn out." I'll say that again. Things turn out the best for the people who make the best of the way things turn out. Yes. It is proper you understand what I deem the essential principles of government, equal and exact justice to all men, of whatever persuasion, religious or political, Thomas Jefferson, 1801. Kathy and I have been studying from Jonathan Edwards as a devotion each morning, and he mentioned something that's interesting, and I had to think about it, about people with a quiet, insubordinate streak. A quiet, insubordinate streak. I don't know, I might be one of those people myself, but I guess I haven't been quiet enough. I guess I've had my times of being insubordinate. If men of wisdom and knowledge, of moderation and temperance, of patience, fortitude, and perseverance, of sobriety and true but Republican simplicity of manners, of zeal for the honor of the Supreme Being and the welfare of the Commonwealth, if men possessed of these other excellent qualities are chosen to fill the seats of government, we may expect that our affairs will rest on a solid and permanent foundation. That from Samuel Adams in 1780, and of course how important that is. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's kind of lengthy, but I'm reminded that on March 23rd, 1775, at St. John's Church in Richmond, Virginia, Patrick Henry gave his very famous speech, which most people recognize, particularly the latter part of that speech, where he said, "Besides, sir, we shall not fight our battles alone. There is a just God who presides over the destiny of nations and who will raise up friends to fight our battles with us. The battle, sir, is not to the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, to the active, to the brave. Besides, sir, we have no election. If we were base enough to desire it, it is now too late to retire from the contest. There is no retreat but in submission and slavery. Our chains are forged. Their clanking may be heard on the plains of Boston. The war is inevitable, and let it come. I repeat it, sir, let it come." A great speech, and if you haven't ever read the totality of it, it certainly is worth it, especially. "Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Do you know what the opposite of nationalism isn't? Patriotism. The opposite of nationalism isn't patriotism. It's internationalism or globalism. We're seeing lots of that. A patriotic nationalism, which was birthed and rooted in the preponderance upon God's sovereignty and the worship of Him, thereby fighting for family and freedom, that's the roots of American nationalism, will hold to a different set of moral values than a nationalism that was birthed and rooted in a bloody history of self-serving tyrannical rulers and leaders, like the roots of French nationalism. Although the American and French revolutions took place in the same era, their outcomes are starkly contrasted to one another, and it provides for a very interesting study. Now, this is interesting. An associate professor at Minnesota State University in Mankato, Eric Sprankel, said, he tweeted that the Virgin Mary did not consent to being impregnated by God, an all-knowing, all-powerful deity. The respect you get is usually the respect you earn. And the Bush family put on a public rite of national mourning that reflected well on the character of their father and entire Bush clan, and gave the country a moment of shared respect desperately needed. And that was said in the Wall Street Journal. Okay. Well, enough quips and quotes for the time being. Turn with me, if you would, to the first chapter of Matthew in your copy of the Bible. Matthew chapter 1. I have chosen today to be reading from the King James translation. And we will begin reading from verse 16, and let's see, we have 25 verses.
You must read 6 and then read 7.
Well, the thing is, we're going to start at 16 and 20, so there's 9 verses with 4 of us. All right, well, I'm going to read the first 3. And then we'll go around the room and each one of you will read 3 to the end.
2.
Yeah, 2 each to the end. Okay, Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 16. And I chose not to read all the others. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, which is verse 1 there. And the reason I chose not to is because We have a lot of begots and 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 begots. But I do encourage you at your own free time to read the history of all those begots, which is basically the genealogy, if you will, of Jesus, taking us down to where I was going to begin reading it. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. As his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Okay, Mrs. Lear, take it from there.
All right, continuing on in Matthew chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 from the English Standard Version. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. That was Matthew chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 from the English Standard Version.
I'm reading from the English Standard Version, Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 to 22. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet.
And finishing out the chapter, starting verse 23, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. That was Matthew chapter 1, verses 23 through 25.
Well, praise the Lord for the reading of his word. That is the historical account of what happened. And of course, Mrs. Lear has been reading a book that is interesting. I've got several quotes in there from noted archaeologists and so forth, saying that the Bible is accurate history. And of course, the foolishness that we're seeing these days of people saying things has given me the theme, we'll say, for today, with or without consent, ? And a subtitle, if you will, is invaded. Now, according to that professor who said this all-knowing God, you know, that he, without Mary's consent, pregnated her. But the truth of the matter is, if you read scripture, you'll see that Mary did consent. She had first asked the question, how can this be, being that I have never known a man? In other words, that she had never had sexual intercourse with anybody. But of course, then she agreed to it without any shame, without any forlorn. What a great opportunity. And of course, even as we have sung in some of the Christmas carols, have a lot of what I call grassroots theology of things that were said there, that Mary did nothing in scorn. What did that mean? Basically, that she did not scornfully say, okay, I'll have this baby. You know, it's like she was glad to be able to do that. And hark the herald angels sing as we read about that. Join the triumph of the skies with the angelic host, proclaim Christ is born in Bethlehem. And of course, the thing is, did God the Holy Spirit invade Mary's womb? I mean, we're hearing these kind of foolishness from radical feminists, but, you know, it's my womb and I don't want the baby invading me. So they don't want nature to take its course. And of course, you'd be, if you said to somebody, well, if you didn't want to get pregnant, then why did you even have intercourse? And a lot of them would say, well, why do I have to shun intercourse just because I don't want to have a baby? And of course, all these things that have come out, whether it be RU8486 or birth control pills or any of these kind of things, and we're not going to take the time today to discuss the validity of that, just to say all those things are dangerous because they're interrupting the natural rhythm of things that the Lord has given. And so, in fact, no, Mary's womb was not invaded, that she was a virgin. And of course, the prophecy that goes way back in Isaiah 7:14 about, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And of course, it's interesting, I have a great-grandfather whose name was Felix Emmanuel. And of course, Emmanuel, as you may remember, and as it says right here in the scripture in verse 23, is God with us. God with us. And so when Joseph was aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. But notice in verse 25, and this is very important too, he did not have any sexual intercourse with her until Jesus had been born. And verse 25, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And of course, the idea of not knowing her, whenever you read in King James language, not know her means did not know her sexually, did not have sexual intercourse with her. And of course, I'm a little bit reluctant to discuss those kind of things in public and, of course, with the congregation, but you need to know what these things mean. And it's not as phantasmagorical as some people might think. And, of course, the reason of Mary being kept a virgin, because otherwise somebody would say, well, that Jesus is just Joseph's son. He was the impregnator of Mary. But no, he did not know her, did not have relations with her until after Jesus was born, for a very good reason. And I can tell you, most married men, when their wives are pregnant, if their wives will continue to allow them to do so, will continue to have conjugal relationship with them even before the child is born. And sometimes pretty close after the child has been born as well. When you think of things from the natural standpoint of what we have seen amongst people, reading this like this and saying, okay, Mary was a real person. Joseph was a real person. They had real likes and desires and wants and dislikes and so forth and so on. And the people around them were like real people. Because, of course, Mary was sanctioned, in a sense, shunned by some, because she comes back home after being away for a while and she's pregnant. And so they look at a pregnant teenager, and of course, in my day growing up, if a teenager was pregnant, they usually were sent to the Florence Crittenden home to have their baby, and the baby was usually put up for adoption whether he wanted it or not, because it was believed that no teenager would be able to take care of a baby. That, of course, has proven not to be true, and keeping the baby and mother together whenever possible is important. So there's a lot we can learn from reading these passages of Scripture. And the idea that, no, Mary wasn't invaded. And it wasn't with or without consent. In other words, if it's without consent, the Holy Spirit raped Mary. Now, when I say that, doesn't that, that should get your shackles up, or shekels or whatever. No, shekels are money. Shackles, get those up, right? Because it's saying, what? God raped Mary? Well, if she didn't consent to it, then she'd be raped, just the same as any woman today, if she goes into court, you know, over a rape charge, claiming that she's been raped, and the judge is going to say to her, well, did you consent? Well, I didn't consent to having the guy do it the way he did it. Well, then did you consent or you didn't consent? Because if you consented, it's not rape. If you didn't consent, then it is rape. Now, I'm not speaking like a lawyer here so much as wanting to make the point emphatic. Mary did not object except by saying to the angel, well, how can this be? Now, that wasn't an objection. Just the same as many of us will say as we're studying the Word of God, how can this be? Doesn't make you an unbeliever because you're asking the Lord, help me to understand how this can be. And so Mary was asking the angel, how can this be? I haven't known a man. I've been, you know, I know what the rules are, that I'm supposed to remain a virgin until after I'm married. And you'll have to remain a virgin once you're married, but beforehand. That's the way it was. And actually, in ancient Israel, you had to prove this. If the woman, I mean, her parents actually would take the bed sheet after the woman was married, man and woman were married, husband and wife were married, and after their honeymoon night, so to speak, the parents would come in and get the sheet to prove the fact that their daughter was in fact a virgin. Because if their daughter was not a virgin, then the guy who married her did not have to stay married to her because there was a false situation there. In other words, if she portrayed herself as a virgin and comes to find out and it can be proven that she wasn't, then she lied, and of course that dissolves the marriage because the marriage was under consent. I consented to this marriage because the woman I married professed to be a virgin. So, I mean, think about this, folks. There's a lot of aspects to what we read. And whether we study this in December, and of course this being the second Sunday of Advent, at least by some people's calendars, and you know, the Orthodox Church has different calendar for Epiphany and so forth and so on than most do. But regardless of when it happened, the how it happened is very important, both in understanding the past, but also understanding the present, what's going on, and how to deal with a lot of the present. We've been watching a series from England called Call the Midwives. And on that, and I have actually participated in the birth of my children. I've also helped in the birth of a child in a campground, because I was trained as an EMT to do that, in a campground in Hawaii. So I've seen some babies born, but I've probably seen more lately watching that program on Netflix. And it's a great program, well acted and so forth, and how many babies and how difficult it is to give birth. You know, and for some women it's easier than others. And of course, if there are any circumstances, like in one particular case, there was a young woman who had claimed that she had a boyfriend outside that was going to marry her when she had her baby and she was in jail. And it come to find out, she had lied about that she didn't have anybody outside that was going to marry her, that she had actually, in prostitution or something like that, gotten pregnant. But she wanted to keep her baby, but they weren't going to let her keep her baby because she didn't have anywhere to go and she had lied and so forth and so on. And the thing was, she just basically said, you know, my whole life, nobody's ever helped me. But an Anglican nun came and spoke on her behalf and got her a job and got her a place to live and work and so forth. And she actually, for the first time in her life, really experienced the love of God through the help that she received. And so for us right now in this season, we could call it a season of miracles. There are all the naysayers out there, and yes, the people that accuse you for being a pagan because you celebrate Christmas and whatever, and I want to go on record as saying I don't celebrate Christmas. I'm celebrating the birth of Christ, which we, even if it is somewhat arbitrary, and maybe he wasn't born on December 25th, but there's so much we can learn from this. And folks, God did not rape Mary. He had her consent. And he did not invade her womb. And by the way, when you are the master, so to speak, when you're God, you could do whatever you want to do, right? Because you're God. That's part of the issue of saying you're God. If you're God, you can do whatever you want to do. And God is a good God. We use that euphemistically so often. God is a good God. And he's not just a good God. He's a great God. And he's a real God who loves us. And of course, some of the songs we sang, like Away in the Manger, where people were praying, God love us. Please, God love us. We don't have to pray that our Heavenly Father will love us. He's proven his love to us. We need to prove our love for him. Not that he doesn't know, but for the world to know that God has sent his only begotten Son so that we would be forgiven of sins and the expression of love that we would never be able to do except that we've seen such love from the Father through the Son. No, Mary wasn't invaded. She was pregnant out of wedlock, but for the time, just the way nuns will usually say, not married to a man, but they wear a wedding ring because they say, I'm married to God. So for the birth of Jesus, Mary was married to God the Father, impregnated by the Holy Spirit, not as an invasion of her womb, and not without consent. She consented. She just needed to have it explained to her what was happening. And many of us, we need an explanation too. Lord, help us to understand. Let's pray. Well, God our Father, many are the gifts that you have given us, and the greatest of all was the gift of your Son to show us what true love is about. And we thank you, Lord, for Mary, who was a real person. She wasn't of divine birth. She was just of normal human birth, although some people say otherwise. And Lord, we know she's awaiting the resurrection also. And how is it possible that she could give birth to the Savior and at the same time expect to be saved by the Savior? That does seem like a conundrum or contradiction, but Lord, it's not. And you do explain it to us in your word. Just help us to understand better. And in this time of year where people are celebrating and half the time don't know what they're celebrating except just having a good time, getting time off from work, exchanging of gifts and whatever, there can be great value in that too. Help us, Lord, we pray. And we will always say, we'll have no other king but King Jesus. We thank you. We love you, Lord. In your name, amen.